I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew podcast. The real TikTok. What's up, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew. Today's episode, man. Episode 23, man. You know, Gen Athlete Z. We really just want to base this episode kind of, you know, I've been fortunate enough to listen to some presentations this week at work, just about Generation Z and what that student looks like. And, you know, now Generation Z is kind of entering college. And so it made me think, you know, what does Generation Z, the student athlete, look like? And for those who don't know, you know, Generation Z is, you know, student athletes, well, anyone born between 1996, you know, and after, you know, right? And so what is important to that generation and certain characteristics that help shape and mold the, you know, current generation entering college? And so some of the interesting things that I think that found out were, you know, this generation never grew up without a cell phone, right? You think about you and I, we both had, you know, house phones, you know. We thought, you thought you were doing something major if you had like two lines in your house. and you think about how it was, you know, when we were making like a recruiting tape, right? That like was unheard of. Like if you got that done, like you were considered like, man, tech savvy to the ultimate. And you know, now like having a mixtape, I mean, that's just the norm. Or you think about, you know, wanting those instant results, because basically, you know, us growing up, if you had a desktop computer, normally there was only one in the house. You know, you had to kind of take turns on it. But now you have, everyone has a computer in their pocket, basically. And so just think about stuff. Like, they can find whatever they want within a matter of moments.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, because everybody that's on our campus now is pretty much a Gen Z. I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you feel old. We got students on our campus, both of us, that were born in 2001. That's the year I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about being 18 years older than these freshmen, or 18 years old. You know, I mean, I literally was going into college when these kids were born. And so some of the characteristics, because we spent a lot of time talking about it and researching Gen Z. And one of the things that stood out to me, a few things, was that obviously we know they're social media addicted.
Like, mm-hmm.
You see, I know when you're walking across campus, you see everybody like locked into their phone with their AirPods in or earphones in and all of that, or just on social media. But they are just all into their phone, Snap. You know, Instagram, and we're going to talk about that a little later, how that's kind of empowered them. But then they're like habitual multitaskers just because of technology. I see students typing papers on their phone, man. Like literally typing papers on their phone. And you think about it, they text so quickly and text all the time. They probably can type better on their phone, but
yeah.
But then that's why sometimes, and you're a teacher, you're a professor now, that's why sometimes you get like some of the papers is like they're texting you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're typing the papers with their thumbs. And then they're really focused on like independence. Like, you know, I think me and you talked offline earlier about how like they don't really remember the recession, but their parents do. And yep. So, but they understand, like some of them might have seen their parents struggle a little bit or cut some things back, and so, or see their parents get laid off, and so mm-hmm. That probably kind of changed their mindset about like, I want to be an entrepreneur, man, or entrepreneur. I want to have my own business. I want to have my own power. And for us, it was like, go to college, right?
Yep.
Degree.
Yep. That's, you know, all we knew. Like,
we knew.
I think about it too. You probably only know a handful of people from when you were in high school that were like, nah, I ain't going to college. And I guarantee you looked at them like, what? And this generation is now like, as far as like, nah, I'm not going to college. I kind of want to travel a little bit, or I kind of want to do this. I got this kind of going. I want to see where this goes. Or they look at it like, man, maybe I can go to a JUCO for 2 years then transfer into a university and already have, like, that'll save, that'll cut half the cost. I don't think they look at college as a, you know, that this is the best 4 years of your life anymore. They're like, yo, how can I cut that cost in half? And I'll have fun whenever later. And you think about, okay, how does that carry over to a student athlete? And so I think about that social media. You think about Ball Is Life, Slam Magazine, the impact, like, for us coming up, like, Slam Magazine, man, like, that was, I feel like it was kind of just coming out or just on the come up. Definitely Ball Is Life was, and that was, you know, if you only maybe the top 50 guys made it on there. And now you think, like, you got guys in high school that are, like, pretty much icons. Think about, like, a LaMelo Ball, right? Or a Zion Williams. They were pretty much icons in high school. Like, over a million followers on, like, in their social media platforms.
Drake had on Zion's jersey at a concert.
Yeah.
Come on now. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. If I had 250,000 followers in high school, I don't know, man. I'd be looking at coach like, why are you yelling, B?
You need me. Right. They called me. Right. And so one thing I noticed too, I just like compared to back when we were coming up. You think about the first letter you got, and it was more than likely was one of those chain letters, right? That it didn't have like a signature on there. It was like a typed on a computer. Your name was just imported on there. But these Generation Z, like, even though they're on social media and all that stuff, they really value face-to-face relationships. Mm-hmm. So you think it's kind of like, yeah, it's like typical, like, yeah, I'm on my phone, I'm listening. Okay, you're in the room, but hold, don't go nowhere. And like, I want you to pay me all the attention, even though I might not be giving you that same thing back. And so you think, like, man, what do you think a chain letter would do now to a student athlete who's recruiting? Like, they would look at that like, what? Like, okay, mark him off my list.
Yeah, it won't mean anything.
And I'm trying to think how the social media has kind of helped that paradigm of student athlete. So when I was coming up, you heard stories about Billy Donovan from Florida. He showed up to Charlotte Randolph's high school, right? On the first day of recruiting, like he came, but he just to say, hey, I just want to say hey to you, man, before you went to class, man, have a good day, and left. And that was like a big thing. And so now you fast forward that you have Coach Godfrey, NC State, showing up on a helicopter to, you know, June's high school. Mm-hmm. And that whole dynamic of things going on to the point now, you'll see guys who go on recruiting visits and they'll be like having whole photo shoots in the team's uniform. Yeah. You remember that? Because when we were coming, all they would have was like, they would do maybe a monogram of your name on the back of a jersey. A picture, it wouldn't even be like a real thing that you could touch.
Yeah, and it was all like, the biggest thing for me when going on visits was, like, if you went to one of their games, they would call, like, your name out during the game, and they'll say, like, you know, at this time, we'd like to recognize Drew Johnson from Raleigh, North Carolina, and you stand up and do the little presidential wave, but you do it, like, yo, they feeling me around this camp. And that was like...
Think about this, though, right? That same vibe, but imagine the games on ESPN, and now they do it, and they show, I feel like they try to downplay, like, the guys that are there, because you know, both what I know, we've seen games, like, a few years ago, like, yo, you see Zion at the Carolina game tonight? You see him at the Duke game tonight? But on social media, it'll be like, oh, boom, boom, such and such here for his official visit out in the crowd saying what's up to the fans. And that's kind of like, I feel like that's more appreciated than that little cameo that the school might try to give you.
Yeah, and then think about how social media has, or like social media, YouTube, think about how that's changed, like, recruiting. Like, you remember back in the day, a coach had to, like, literally go to these tournaments or go to the kids' high school, blah, 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 just to see, because mm-hmm. they were platforms. Now, if I want to see how good Dennis Smith Jr. is, or Quay Parker is, or Harry Giles or Jason Tatum is, like by in their sophomore year, man, if they're that good, there's so much footage where I don't even have to leave. I got my phone. I can look them up anywhere and make a sound decision if I want to get on this flight and fly all the way to St. Louis or Cali or North Carolina. Before, I mean, you think about how that's just changed, because coaches had to like literally go by hearsay. I hear Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, heard about this kid down here, man. Heard about this guy. Like now, man, ain't no like, yo, I looked him up. I saw him. I'm going to see him now. Like, hey, that's one thing too, because like we said before, like getting a highlight video, right? Man, these dudes, it's just a matter of coaches might see him, and now they're getting hip to, okay, who's he playing against? Yeah. All right, okay, well, let me see him. He's going to be at this Nike event. Let me see how he does out there. Okay, if he kills out there, then I know he's playing against legit talent. All right, now I might go see him.
Dog, I made my own highlight VHS tape. My senior year, I got all my game film. And my dad bought one of those, whatever they called, you do the two tapes in there and chop it up yourself. Now, I spent days and hours watching like 30-something, 60 games, finding my highlight to the point where eventually I had like every bucket I scored from my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like they got, you know, you go to the games right there in Raleigh, you see everybody with a camera. You see everybody. With a little tripod, and they got a little side hustle, which is a beautiful hustle because it's kids like probably like me that would look at them like, yo, I need that highlight. Like I played good today. Because I probably won't make the baller's life. I'm a 3-star. I'm a 4.5.
Yep.
3.5. I'm not a 5-star. So let me talk to this dude right here and see if he'll send it to me. That's probably how they make their money. I'm not sure.
And I think too, man, so student athletes, man, just like regular Gen Z students, their voice is so much bigger than ours was, right? And I was talking to a colleague of mine the other day after class, and he was like, you know, man, I kind of came up in that generation where, hey, I'm going to tell you to do something, and you're going to do it, because this just is the way it is. And now you got, when you try to do that, it's like, well, hold on. Why is it like that? Okay, I don't agree with it. We're going to band together here, and we're going to find this some kind of loophole, this policy that does not add up. And we're going to take a stand against this. And We you and I have both seen, not only have we seen like building names on buildings being changed, we've seen top coaches be fired. Like something that we thought would never happen. Cause remember when we were in school, we were scared. We were like, yo, I know there's a practice limit of 20 hours, and I feel like we've been in here 30 hours this week. But I'm not about to say nothing, though. I'm not going to be the guy that says anything.
But I tell you what, knowing me, if I had social media back in the day, I would have been on that joint going, like, hammer time. Like, just talking to everybody, like, yo, y'all ain't going to believe it. I probably would have started a podcast back then. So.
And you think, too, man, I do know, like, one of the historically good coaches, women's basketball, she got fired over, like, you know, some stuff said on the team. Just recently, I think it was the general manager of the LA Sparks, she got fired for some words that she used in a post-game, you know, meeting. And the crazy thing is, and I'm not saying like the players are soft or anything, like that what they got, what was said to them was wrong. I'm saying, like, yo, we heard some of those same things. And it's even on some, like, oh, we go with y'all shit, too. I'm like, dang, I kind of low-key wish I would have said something. It's like, and I don't think that was right for that to be said.
We talked about that on the last episode. Like, to be honest with you, I don't think I would have said anything, to be honest, because I would have still looked at it like they're my elders, kind of, just the way I was raised. But I'm going to tell you what it did for me. It would have served as an outlet. Like, I would have used social media and probably YouTube. First of all, if I had YouTube in high school or social media in high school, I would have used it to where I would have just, I don't know how well I would have done in school because I would have been constantly studying. You know how I was. Every time you walked in my room, I had a VHS tape being watching stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All they had like YouTube or social media where I can follow LeBron, KD, Kyrie. Guys are working out all the time. And like I can go say, oh, okay, he's doing this drill. He's saying he made 1,000 shots today. I would go try to do the same thing. But I'm going to tell you how these Gen Z are using this too. I'm going to tell you, this is where it gets kind of sick. See, I think that these young, this Generation Z, when they watch, they have total access to all these professional athletes, right? So you got a young person looking at an Antonio Brown or Odell or LeBron James or Russell Westbrook. And so what's happening is because they have so much access, they are following so much. They're trying to follow. That they don't even take the time to see who they are or figure out.
They start
trying to do stuff. Like I was watching Baller's Life or something the other day, and I saw this he was like 10 or 12. He was nice, but I watched 1 minute of him. I said, oh, he watches Kyrie, right? Or, he watches Westbrook. He's angry. He's playing angry like Russell.
Yeah.
What you got to be mad at 12, right?
Man, I think you might show me some of the same dudes, man, where it's like they're making like the cutthroat. I'm like, guy, okay. Or they're doing stuff where it's like they look like they literally want to fight the guy that they're playing. So I'm like, yo, y'all are 10, right? And that, so you got that part, and you got the critiquing as far as, you know, the voices. And you remember, well, kind of now, so like student athletes now kind of want to be treated as like professional athletes. And we're kind of going in that direction because, you know, hey, we got the Pay to Play Act that just got crossed in California. So that's going on. And that's not really, that's just the tip of it. Like that's going to happen.
You saw what's happening in Florida, right?
Yeah, what happened in Florida?
They're trying to get that same bill passed to get it implemented next season. It's already started, but keep going. I didn't mean to cut you off.
And then you got guys who are like, you know what? I'm just gonna bypass this. And I'm gonna go play overseas, right? So guys are like you said, that entrepreneurial spirit. They're more business savvy. Like they realize like this is a business. And I'm not going to let you just profit off of me.
And it's because of the access they have. Like, that's like, it's a gift and somewhat of a curse. And that's what we're talking about both sides. You know who else is getting hip to all of this? The parents. And so, and what's sad about that is parents get hit to this. And at the age, when they got a kid, they got an age of 10, and somebody said, your son or your daughter, they're really good.
Yeah.
Have some good hand-eye coordination. You're like, you don't do that. You keep hearing that, you start treating your kid like a business because knowledge you have about the game and how you can become a millionaire and profit.
Now you start
making business decisions for your kid early. And here's the thing, it ain't necessarily a bad thing. All I'm saying is the joy of the game still has to exist between all of this, man. Like, let these young people enjoy this thing, because if not, yo, they got the rest of their life to deal with the savage part of it.
Yeah, the rest of their life. And you know how we always be talking about, man, student-athletes not taking advantage of, you know, a free education. But think about this too, man. We're starting to see more guys, like, take advantage of it and get, like, dual degrees. So when we were coming up, man, we didn't know anybody that graduated in like 3 years and could leave, transfer into as a grad transfer, go anywhere and play right away. we didn't even know that was even possible.
I don't think that was possible.
But now, every year, there's a grad transfer that's somewhere in NCAA who's finished in 3 years because they go to summer school, has that extra year eligibility, and goes somewhere and like can play right away. We didn't even know that was a rule. You could do that.
I don't think it was a rule back in the day. I don't think it existed. I think it's something they just started not too long ago. But to your point, I think Gonzaga had a guy this year that was a transfer in, or it's all. And what happens is how they get around it is the guy will say, well, that school just so happens to have the major, the master's program. Mm. I really want.
Yeah, exactly. Man, you know, it's like, okay, I don't really believe it, but it can't be. I know the best example I saw of this, man, is the quarterback at NC State a few years ago. So he went to, I want to say, Boise State, maybe? One of those schools that had the crazy field, right? The crazy turf on their field. He graduates in three years, but he got hurt maybe. So he had that year, plus he had another year because he graduated early. He transfers to NC State. He ends up having 3 years of eligibility on top of because he already graduated. Think about that. Because he got hurt 1 year, he got hurt, so he had a medical red shirt, but then he also graduated early. So you just, like, think about that. Like, so he grad, so he finished. I feel like he's in the NFL now. But think about, like, he had like 2 master's degrees once he got done. And that's something that's, okay, guys are starting to get hip to that, which is, like, a real good thing, I think, because we've known guys that's, like, played 5 years and still don't have a degree.
And that dude, and what's great about that guy you're talking about, I bet he didn't pay a dime for none of those degrees.
Not a dime. Didn't pay a thing. Got it all paid for. And we know, well, like, millennials, we are the highest student debt loan ever going on right now because of, you know, that millennial generation. There was this one dude, man, I wanted to mention. He was a former student athlete I know. I don't want to say his school because I don't know if he would get in trouble or not, but all I know is he was a long snapper, right? You think about the long snapper on a football team. That's the guy who throws it to the guy to punt, right? Mm-hmm. Simple job. So simple that when he does that, like, people can't even tackle him. So you think about, that's like, yo, who wants to do that, right? You know, this dude did that for his university and on his summers with his spare time, because he don't have the same summer workouts as the rest of the guys. He linked up with a guy who, like, taught high school kids that. So you think, okay, I'm going to go to this camp to be a long snapper. I'm going to get ranked as the number one long snapper in the country. People should get scholarships for this. This dude was making up to 70 G's a year as, like, because he was like, you got this prominent guy. If I am at this big university, I'm the long snapper. I'm going to be at this camp on this day, this weekend, charges $500 a kid. All little kids, not little kids, but like high school kids are going to come because it's not like you don't have to be overly athletic to be a long snapper. Think about that. Because you think about Gen Z, they all have like kind of like this, they're known for having like side hustles. They don't want to. We grew up where our generation would get like a part-time job at McDonald's.
Right.
Z is, you know what, I'm going to do a side hustle to make money. Like, I'm gonna have a sneaker cleaning business. So you think, man, this dude was like working at long snap camps for like kids making bread. When I heard that, I was like, you made how much? I was kind of mad. Like, what? But it just goes to show that, like, guys are kind of, you know, I understand that I'm here for this, but they still have that business sense of business savvy to them that they're looking at earlier on than kind of, let's say, we were.
Yeah, and I wonder if with the whole potential of this bill changing the game and guys being able to get paid, then you start thinking about guys getting paid, whatever they come up with, the stipend or whatever, getting paid off their likeness. Think about what kind of that's going to create for guys.
Man, I'm just thinking, like, dang, what if, so What if Bojangles wants to pay me to put on his banner, right? Like, dang, like, that can really happen. Who wants to pay me?
Church's chicken.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're not going to, at that age, I don't feel like you're going to be, like, too really picky. You're like, shoot, they trying to pay me, right?
I mean, and then the first thing I can think about is, like, jersey sales and all of that. So say mm-hmm. you get like a sum of money from that, and then you use that money to flip it, basically. You do that to really go into your secondary passion and hustle, and you use that money. And then before you know it, you think about it. You're like, what this bill is going to do, and I know this is kind of getting off but not really tied into Gen Z. Think about it, if a player stays for 4 years, and getting paid for whatever reason, their likeness or whatever have you. Man, you after 4 years, and let's just say this guy's a business or she is a business major and is really learning finance, right? Or taking some accounting classes and some finance classes and really learns you're learning about business, but you're getting money real time.
And it's, yeah.
So it's not like when we were going to school. Or like even now, you go and you learn about business, but the classes are so hard, you can't really work. So, you know, you're not really making money. I'm talking about like having the money to play with to invest and really
learn. And you're really paying attention because it's that, like you said, it's that real time.
Come on, dog.
Man, you know one thing I wanted to ask you about? So, right, we both transferred, right? Mm-hmm. When you transferred from UNC Asheville, you told a coach, like when you, after that, did you find yourself kind of wanting to just get your stuff and kind of not, you're still cool with your teammates, but like you're kind of to yourself, you're not necessarily about to go work out with the strength coach, right? Because like you're leaving, right?
Right.
So that's the crazy thing now, like the whole transfer portal, that wasn't even called that when we were just like, yeah, bruh, he decided he don't want to be here no more. He's about to dip. Like it was no transfer portal, so it's so crazy. I see guys literally say, yeah, I'm entering the transfer portal, and I'll see them like walking around campus like it's everything's all right, like we'll go into the same facility, just act like, yeah, it's gonna get a quick lift in, you know, like just I remember it was kind of like when I was like, yeah, when I decided I was leaving, like I was not trying to go get shots up with Contos, or I mean, like, go get lifted with Contos, or go have some Brooks rebound for me. It was like, okay, I'm packing up, I'm about to leave. I see guys like literally just walking, almost like I feel like they're still on the team.
like it's nothing. So, again, social media, man. I think like I know you're talking about the example, like he. Your guy you share with me that posted that on their social media, the portal. And first of all, most of that is for attention. That's the first thing. That's the first mm-hmm. thing, in my opinion. The second thing is, you know, the reason I transferred was because I actually was playing there. Like it wasn't that I was playing. I just didn't necessarily like the environment. In the space. Mm. There was nobody that looked like me other than my teammates and the track players. We have a football team. So it was like this, and I mean, they serving tofu as a main course. Mm. That I have. It was a liberal arts school. It's great, beautiful school. Just wasn't my cup of tea. So So I transferred because I wanted to transfer because I knew I had an older brother that went to a great school, and I had two cousins that went to a great school, and I had friends that before went to great schools, and they would tell me about their experiences. I'm like, I ain't getting none of this, man. This don't even feel right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I transferred. It was, and it was no announcement. It was like, I mean, I didn't even know where I was going to go until I ended up at VCU, which was out of
the Me too. Definitely know where I want to go. Definitely didn't even really want to, like, kind of like emotionally, you didn't really want to open that bag up because you're just still like, yo, I'm really leaving. Yeah. Like, it was something that you just wanted to talk about with everybody.
Yeah, it was a sensitive subject. I remember when I knew I was transferred, I went to the coach's office and told him, man, and that was it. And he tried to convince me to stay. And You know, I was just like, coach, this isn't for me. And it's kind of like when Butch told the coach of Blue Chips, like, you know, whatever. But I only thing I did with the team, I live with them still, obviously. And I
yeah.
And every now and again, I eat the calf with them. But I didn't go to no more workouts. Man, mm-hmm. Because like you're saying, it's like you feel like you're not on the team. You just made that
yeah.
decision. I'm not going to do what the team is doing.
Yeah, like you kind of like almost don't like, it's like your team still rocks with you, but you don't necessarily feel kind of like you're welcome with anything. And then again, like with those mandatory workouts, you're definitely not going. They'd probably be like, hey man, close practice. I literally, man, I see guys like still just, and I kind of feel like that whole transfer portal thing is so died down now to where it's like, okay, well, you know, this didn't really go my way right here. So, you know, I'm gonna try something else. Because think about this too. There's all these little loopholes to where you can transfer and still like be an undergrad and not have to sit out, depending on your reason for transferring.
I had never heard about that when I was coming up. I knew I was gonna have to sit out. I knew and it is what it was just what it was. But now, like you said, I hear guys on my turn, and then they're going to, like, the NCAA is going to grant such and such eligibility to play right away. And I'm like, how? And usually the examples that I know is that, like, the person is transferring to be closer to their family because a mother or father is ill or a sister or whatever. Like, I couldn't have just said I want to be able to play because I'm getting out of here and I just want to play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, I'm just thinking like, yo, there's a, and I think they have talked about like people not having to sit out anymore. Like, let's say you just want to transfer, and yeah, okay, cool. Well, you'll be eligible for that very next year. And you think about this too, though. This goes back to a Gen Zer. We never questioned it, but why do you have to sit out? Like, why is that?
Good question, because I think it was Jay Williams or somebody was saying, like, why, what's the point of that rule when coaches can leave a school and go coach? Like, God, like you think about the NCAA tournament, a coach would be coaching in a game, but he's already taking another job.
Yeah. And he don't got to sit out, nothing. So it's like, it ain't like where the clearinghouse needs time to process transcripts to make sure you're eligible. Like, they know you're eligible.
I say the only thing about that will get kind of muddy, though, is if, like, somebody's playing at Duke and then they transfer to Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Man, so, okay. You know what I'm starting to see? I've literally seen guys transfer in the first semester.
That's crazy.
Yep. I've seen them go to a school thinking they're going to, like, be the guy, not play, and at Christmas time, they'd be like, you know what? I'm out.
I don't necessarily agree with that because I'm like, but it goes back to social media because that person got a good example, Mr. Quay Parker. You know, he goes to Tennessee, and this dude was a social media phenomenon, whatever you want to call it.
He had
dunking since like eighth grade. Highlights were crazy. He had a crazy following. And I remember talking to you, I was like, this kid is really good, but I don't know if he's SEC good. Like, I was like,
ECU
or mid-major, you have a hell of a career. But because of social media and his peers, Dennis Smith Jr., Harry Giles, guys of like Mark Careful, all these guys are now some bigger schools, he's got to do that because social media, he's looking at other people. And he's not for an example, but there's other people like him. And he goes to a Power Five school, and he just doesn't fit in with that. Like,
he's an
athlete, but if you play in a Power Five school, you special. I don't care who you are.
Special.
And and that's just the level of play, but, like, and then he transfers, and he, you know, now he's at North Carolina A&T, so hopefully he does well this year, but, you know, kid is still a social media rock star. People are still following him, like pulling for him, which they should, and I'm pulling for him. But at the same time, I'm like, social media, this Gen Z is all about this, their following and their likes, and that influences everything.
Man, you think about this. I just came to my head, man. So I'd rather watch a 60-second clip of all highlights that the social media than almost necessarily watch the whole game. Because we talk about that now too. Like, the game might be on. I'm like, man, I catch the highlights versus watching that 2.5 hours, because with Gen Z, you want it right then.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what, though. If you were coaching, you better not make that mistake. You better watch game film, because as you
game film,
there are like there's people that look great in highlights. Like, they'll do something you're like, oh. But then what about the in between where you see they don't know how to necessarily, they don't know plays,
or yep.
they don't know how to help and slide back. They don't know how to get through a pick, and you know all these things can be taught. But I'm just saying, you know, as a coach, you can't go off no highlights.
You can't see how to react when you get a call.
Exactly.
Yeah, how's his body language, man? How's his body language having an off night?
Right. Like, is he selfish? Is he a team player? Is he yelling? Is he looking in the stands? Is somebody from the stands coaching him? All of that.
And I know you had an example for this, but we also talk about too, man. When we were coming up, we were fighting that stigma of, like, we didn't want to be, like, the dumb jocks, right? Mm-hmm. And now I kind of feel like it's transitioned to, like, you know, we're more than the athlete. Mm-hmm. So you got guys who have all these different things going on, these different projects going on. I know you said you had a specific example of that. I'm going to say you can go ahead and share that one with the audience.
It's so funny, man. I was on social media today, and Amon Shumpert, I don't even think he's with a team right now. I think that's why he posted this, but he recently got offered a deal by the Houston Rockets, and he turned it down because, according to him, it just didn't meet, just wasn't right, in a nutshell. But, you know, Amon raps.
Yeah.
And he's actually pretty dope. He's actually on the BET Awards, Hip Hop Awards, the other night, and I saw him rapping, and people were saying that he basically chose rap over Hoops. And his comment was like, yo, y'all gotta be stupid to even think that. And then furthermore, to think that you can't do both. And that's the thing, though. And basically what he's saying is like, yo, don't ever question my passion to play basketball. You act like I can't do both. But when I was in speaking to my research a little bit, that was one of the things that came out from the participants, was like, they didn't want to do anything else because they thought that meant that, and Amon says this, that they didn't take their sport serious.
Yep.
Enough, right?
Because that was if you weren't all about your sport, then it was like you weren't all in. Like, you weren't serious. You weren't focused. You weren't trying to be the best. You weren't trying to help your team be the best. Right. Somebody else out there right now that's doing all this.
And so, speaking to the whole more than the athlete thing, it's become cool to be a little bit more dynamic.
Yep. And,
diverse. Back when we was coming up, man, wasn't nobody else on the team talking about being more than an athlete or
EA
or anything like that.
When I tell you, people looked at me like I had a third eyeball when I was had interest of like joining a like fraternity or something. They was like, "What? Like who? Like, what is that?" What's that? Like, I remember one time one of my teammates, he had to be late for practice because he had to go to this event for his class. And I just remember one of the assistant coaches looked at him like, "You actually going?" And it was just like, dang, man, like how far we have come from, like, just like, yo, got to be more than an athlete, man.
Got to be. And it's because this generation is growing up with a different narrative. And, like, it's cool to be, again, more dynamic, man. Like it's cool for, like, Damian Lillard to rap.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember when Kobe was rapping? Everybody thought he was corny. Now, mind you,
gosh,
but you remember when Shaq was—he's like the first one to hoop and rap, and he went platinum. But that was like a rare occasion. But most guys, you think about it. Now I'm thinking about, of course, you know, LeBron got all his stuff going on. But you think about, like, what's my man's name? He sings. he tore his ACL last year with the Pacers.
Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, so he sings. I mean, you know, plays the piano. But it's like they're not afraid to show that side, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, man, I saw this thing like on an athlete site. It was like, yeah, such and such has this internship at Nike this summer. Yeah. Being a person, I read that like, well, when are they going to work out? How are they going to work on the game? And that's not like you, it's transitioning from like, that's a great opportunity. We'll find you're gonna figure something out to where you're gonna still be able to work on your game and balance that. But like, you know, we were coming up, we was like, yo, how you gonna make workouts? How you gonna do that?
Oh.
And it was heard of.
And I would argue that having something else helps you play better.
Yeah.
You're not as stressful. Like if you're only hooping or playing your sport and all your eggs in that basket, and something doesn't go right, it's like the world's ending. But same scenario, but I'm going to my piano lessons tonight, and I'm actually really good, and actually, I'm going to be performing with this orchestra that I'm in. Like, this is my outlet because it's registering that I messed up today, or today I missed that shot, but this is therapeutic for me. Like, it's all.
Now, think about it, man. And I think about that now, too, from time to time. Like, yo, I wonder why some of our counterparts, like, let's say in football, right? When you have a quarterback, we're mostly like a Caucasian, right? When they grow up from different economic backgrounds and they don't have that stress and that burden of like, I have to make it. Because if I don't, I can still do this. I have this. And with the whole like kind of like football thing going on, they were saying like, yo, watch how many Asian teenage males stop playing football because they don't need it. And it was like, dang, because it was a guy was on the radio. He was like, you're gonna see that this is an economic poor man's sport because of the people that have to play it, that are skilled at it growing up. They come from these economic backgrounds that are not like their counterparts, so they have to do that.
Yeah, they're in survival mode. It's a difference. When you're in survival mode, you'll do anything to get out of that low economical situation. But when you're like mid to high, it's like, man, I remember, man, my uncle told me, and this was crazy, when you get older, this is real, though. He's a coach. He said to me one time, or I heard him say it, I can't remember the situation, but he said, like, I take the guy from the hood, single parent household, over the guy from a two parent household and has other things going for him, because he knows that social, that low, you know, place.
Yep.
This is all they know. This is all they got. They're going to go all out.
Yep. Yep. And it's like, that makes you think, though, like, yo. But it's kind of good that we are trying to go away from that. But that's definitely the mindset of, like, yeah. Definitely have heard that before.
Yeah, and I think that kind of hurt me. If you think about it, hurt us almost.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you remember how we always talk about, like, we were two of the guys on the team that, like, it was, like, felt. And I felt like it too. If I didn't hoop, I was gonna be all right. Like, just
yeah.
Maybe the coaches felt like that too.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, man, didn't Bob Huggins have that kind of type of mentality? Like, yo, I want the guy who is his back's against the wall, this is his last chance, versus the guy who's like, you know, got stuff going for him.
He reflected that from the outside.
Yeah.
About them Cincinnati teams and the West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I don't know them guys, but they sure played like they had ate all day when they was out.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, in a nutshell, man, this Generation Z, man, these Generation Z athletes are, I mean, they got the world in the palm of their hands, literally. And I'm glad that they are conscious mm-hmm. about what's going on and aware and mindful and it's a beautiful thing, man. I kind of wish if I could go back and do it all over again, I'm sure I'd be tapping in all these resources too.
And you think about this too, man. We're probably going to touch on this in a later episode, but you think about this. So Gen Z, right? They're not necessarily focused on, you know, racial issues, but identity issues. Think about this. How many guys did you know growing up that were considered themselves to be like gay or homosexual? Mm-hmm. But now you got guys that are like coming out and still playing in the league. Like, yo, it was the best decision I ever made. I've seen guys probably like in the last 2-3 years, it's maybe not a whole lot, maybe like 5 or 6, but that's more than I ever seen my whole life growing in sports. And so we think that's how far we are coming with.
Yeah.
And it's good to see just where they are headed as far as like, you know, the whole dynamic is shifting.
Yep. And what the best thing that social media and the internet in general has done for this next generation, it has empowered them in every way possible.
Yeah.
I mean, they are literally so intelligent, so smart. They got their own code. I mean, there's some negatives about it too, man. There's some things I wish that, you know, I wish young people could look me in the eye when I'm talking to them. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's just me being an old man now, I guess. But it has really changed the game. And like Nipsey Hussle said, it's like our gold rush. Like the internet and social media, like gold rush. Like if you got a skill, we talking about athletes here, people will pay you and find you.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your skill, period. So.
I just see too, you know, more and more guys taking visits to HBCUs, top guys.
Yeah, did you see that? Buddy went to Hampton the other day?
Yep. Yep.
Yo, he was killing too. That was crazy. His kid's like 17.
So it's just a matter of time.
Yep. I'm sure he had a beautiful time on that beautiful campus.
Beautiful time.
Oh man. But yeah, man. You got anything else?
Nah, man. I think we touched on everything, man. We got everything.
Good, man. Like we say, man, we just want to see where this thing's going to go. But just remember, like we always say, that the highest human act is to impact others. I can't remember. It's late, man. I can't remember what the slogan is now. But what do we say? The highest human act is
to inspire.
There you go, man. Help me out, man. It's been a long week. I'm
Drew.
Y'all.
Y'all.